Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. MB is a place for empowering women in leadership, both at home and in their communities. One of the organization's many marquee events is the annual Tribute to Women. Today, the SDPB studio at the University of Sioux Falls is overflowing with leadership, enthusiasm, perseverance, and wisdom. Let's meet some of our guests. I'm going to start here with Lori Knutson, CEO of MB in Sioux Falls. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Lori. Glad to be here with you today.
Let's before we introduce everyone else, let's talk a little bit about the Tribute to Women and sort of how these nominations and awards work.
Yeah, so each year we put out a call to the community to say, who are those women that are part of your lives every day that you admire and you see achieving great, remarkable things that are having impact in our community? And when you see who those women are, fill out a nomination form and give us an opportunity to help you recognize them and recognize the contributions that they're making in our community. There's a funny story about the whole start of Tribute to Women. A good friend that all of us whose name will recognize, Sylvia Hankin, came back from a national YWCA conference and had this idea of starting a Tribute to Women. And in the days, it was called Leader Luncheon when it first started. Sure. And she tells the story of how when she went out to start pitching this idea to the businesses, some of the guys that she was meeting with said, well, you'll be able to do that one year, but, you know, how are you going to keep that going? There just aren't enough women in leadership to keep that idea going. Well, so 47 years later, Tribute to Women still continues in our community as a vehicle for all of our community members to lift up the accomplishments of women and the contributions of women in our community. And as we all know, we live in a great community, and it's the cumulative work of everyone who lives here that makes it the community that it is.
And Sylvia Hankin said, just watch.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure she did.
So that was a challenge to her, I'm sure. Let's go around the table here and meet our other guests. We have Carla Santi. She's CEO of Blend Interactive and the 2016 Sylvia Hankin Mentoring Award winner. Thank you, Carla. Thanks for being
Lori.
Here. And before the show, we were talking about Carla and I have a history that we took ballet class together, adult ballet class.
We did.
For a story that I was working on back in the day. And I thought that was a nice example of how we're all kind of connected in these strange sort of ways. When you live in a state like South Dakota, it's often that you'll bump into somebody and you'll say, do I know you from somewhere? And it turns out there is a connection. So thanks for being here. And then Erin Sertzka, she's with JDAI, coordinator for Minnehaha County. JDAI stands for?
JDAI stands for Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative. And I started on that journey just over 6 years ago. And in the last year or two, I've taken on other projects and officially got a new title as the Commission Program Development Officer today.
All right.
So, wow, congrats.
Congratulations. 2015, you were acknowledged as the Young Woman of Achievement Award winner. How young do you have to be? What's the age limit for that? Is there one? Just
I think it's like 35 or younger.
Find someone who's new and young. And then we have Twyla Perkinson, Child Life Specialist with the Vera McKinnon, winner of the 2016 Humanities and Education Award through MB's Tribute to Women. Twyla, welcome.
Good afternoon, Lori.
Child life specialist, what kind of work is that then?
As a child life specialist, my role is similar to a teacher. I educate the children as they come into the hospital regarding upcoming procedures. Maybe you're going to surgery, having an MRI, and I can put it into the language that kids would understand in somewhat of a foreign territory.
Hmm. Let's talk about just some of this really powerful work that these women are doing in the community, Lori, and it bridges all kinds of industry, all kinds of is that one of your goals, to sort of bring everyone in from all different corners of the city and region?
Well, and as I think about Tribute and how that event has evolved over 47 years, if you were to go through our program booklet each year, you'd see the categories of the different areas that we've recognized women. And that has changed over the years, too. I mean, when it first started 47 years ago, there was not a category in the STEM, which is the science, technology, and engineering and math areas. And that, as we all know, is quickly becoming a very important area and an area that women are making contributions in. So, yeah, it is fun. And anymore, our challenge is how can we make categories that are inclusive and not exclusive. So, you know, we can make sure that there's a spot for everyone, regardless of the type of work that they're doing, because it is so vast. And the role that women play is no longer as narrow as it used to be. And it really is in all aspects of work that we see every day.
Carla, let's talk about mentoring a little bit and the importance that that has played in your life and what you want to pay forward in that regard.
I realized early in starting Blend Interactive that I was relying on advice from people who had already made the decisions that I was faced with. And I had very strong mentors that were willing to listen, just give me honest feedback, even just listen to my crazy ideas and be honest with me to say, like, I don't think you want to go that way. So for me to be able to provide that feedback and insight and trust to other people that are maybe starting their careers, starting a business, or just going through some life changes, and being able to them to advise them on things that have worked for me, maybe just being an open, honest listener with them has been really not only beneficial for me, but I've seen them grow as well.
How have you sort of seen MB participate in making those connections happen?
Sure. I've been an official mentor with the Women's Leadership Program through MB for, this is my third year, and they do an excellent job of matching us as mentors with protégés. And it's been amazing, these connections that they make between us. We may not work in the same industry, but somehow personality-wise, to connect with this person and have to, you know, be required to have certain meeting times and not just let it slip by, you know, meet with them at least once a month, really push them forward in their careers. It's been a really great tool for those students who graduate from that leadership program to have mentors involved.
Erin, I'm thinking back to when I first started out in a career, and I don't know that I had a roadmap or people sort of guiding me, inspiring me, encouraging me. What has it been like for you to sort of be, nominated, pulled out, and have access in your town to some of that guidance to get you to sort of think long term and strategically about your own career?
Yeah, and I'll have to echo. The community of Sioux Falls and the Sioux Falls area and the support within it is immeasurable. Having mentors and community partners to support you, advise you, guide you, and work alongside almost as a peer mentor has really made a huge difference in the work that I've done over the past few years. Starting out, you know, you start out young, idealistic, right out of school, high school, undergrad, graduate school, with some ideals. And it's really encouraging, uplifting to know that we live in a community that embraces those ideals and lifts folks up and supports them through that journey.
Lori, let's talk about many of our listeners are from a rural community or maybe not having access to some of those programs that MB has established so solidly in Sioux Falls. Do you have advice for people who are listening and how to make those connections sort of happen in their own community and what might come of them?
Right. You know, many of the programs that we put together at MB are a result of listening to women and listening to what's important to them. And the premise of our Women's Leadership Program that was mentioned a little bit ago is really extending a hand out and a hand up to those other women who are around us. Sometimes we're not the best at helping each other along and giving each other opportunities. And so at a minimum, even if just on a daily basis, those around us, be it men or women, need some encouragement, need some advice that helps them be successful in their work or be successful in the journey that they're on. I would challenge us just on a daily basis to look at where those opportunities are to extend that handout and to ask to do lunch with somebody and start a mentorship relationship. When you see a young person who's next to you or down the hall from you who's struggling with some things or that you see a lot of potential in, and that you just extend that handout by making the first gesture of a lunch meeting or a coffee meeting or just stopping by their cube or their office and starting a conversation. And fortunately, we live in a state that is rich that way already. We are very much the type of people that do that on a natural basis. But sometimes we need to remind ourselves that, especially as we become more mature and we have the experience, that we really can play a role in other people's lives and to make our world bigger. Sometimes we have to be intentional about that.
Do you see women hesitating to think they have something to offer someone else?
Yes.
Everyone's nodding their head.
Yes,
around.
You know what's so interesting about this work, too, and working with women in leadership development is oftentimes it's interesting to me when we reach out to a woman who we see as a strong role model and ask them to consider being a mentor in one of our programs, and the response is not, it's not uncommon for them to say, really, me? You think I could do that? You know, really me? I'm the person you're thinking could be a role model? Because I'm not sure what that trait is that women, that runs through our genes, that says that we don't have that capacity to influence and touch other people. Like our male colleagues, it's part of the genetics or something, because they do that a lot with each other. And that is something that we can learn from them, is how to be and respectful of ourselves at a level to see what our contributions really are. And not be afraid to own that, and not be afraid to say, yeah, you know what, I do have that experience, and I can influence somebody else. And to just really own that at a higher level than, for some reason, our general population doesn't at this point.
Twyla, let's talk a little bit more about stepping into your own influence. Is that something that you've had sort of an experience with and wrestled with over your career?
Yes, I feel that. It has been a struggle. You think, I'm just doing my work every day and I'm just getting it done. But it's to be recognized by someone else who says, wow, I really like the way you did that. Or you are doing it in a way that makes it seem so easy. And I don't see it as being easy. I just see it as, this is what I'm doing. So it is. It's like Lori said, you know, you question yourself, well, wow, I'm doing this right. But it just comes as second nature.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, and other people don't know how to do that.
Yes, right.
I remember, Lori, a conversation. I was writing a story about you years ago, and I, you know, we were maybe even off topic. And you said something, you know, casually about kids after school and having a conversation with your children, like, well, you know, I'm at work until this time, you're at school until this time, what are your after school activities going to be? And sort of giving ownership to your children to figure out what, and I don't think that you meant anything by it, but I remember stopping and going, wait a minute.
Right.
And so sometimes it's just a conversation with no formal relationship that you pick up from other people that says, I can have this conversation at home and I can look at my own life in a different way. Do you find that sometimes it's those sort of impromptu conversations that spark those relationships,
you know,
as well?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing that we're guilty of sometimes is we feel or believe that we have to have all the answers to something before we even entertain a conversation with someone on topics that we may not feel like we know 100% about, but we forget that the 95% of stuff that we do know is probably still really, really strong. And so even just to start the conversation and not feel like you have to have all the answers in case somebody asks a question. And I know with youth, that's probably less of a threat, but sometimes we don't start the conversations and really engage and learn from each other because of a fear. Sometimes I think it's a fear. Sometimes it's just not a natural part of our day or things that we do naturally. But I think it's that as women, we oftentimes feel like we have to have all the answers before we engage. And that holds us back. So when you say just having everyday conversations and sharing wisdom through that, yes. And I think we need to challenge ourselves to jump into those conversations that may even feel uncomfortable with adults, you know, not necessarily with children, but with adults.
How about the conversation about gender itself? Is that uncomfortable to be talking about women in leadership? Carla, talk about that. Is it still okay to say amongst women that we have issues or challenges that might be unique or different? Or are we moving past the time in our cultural history where that's as much of the conversation as it was, you know, 15 years ago?
Yeah, I believe that conversation is far from over. I mean, especially in my role being a female in tech, you know, I sometimes struggle being asked to come speak in an event or be part of something or even being recognized because I myself question, am I getting this recognition because I have to fit the equality that people are aiming for? Mm-hmm. You know, we need a woman on this panel, so let's ask Carla. And so it's flattering to be asked, but even I question, why am I being asked? And the way I approach it is, you know what? I was asked. I'm going to show up and be smart about it and do my best. And maybe they're surprised. I don't know. But that's, I think, the trick where we're at is we're all aiming to be equal, you know, at a conference, have as many female speakers as men, or in your job roles, you know, making sure that we're being diverse. And the question is, you know, why was I asked to the table? So again, that goes back to the self-doubt that some of us harbor. Mm-hmm. And it's just realizing that we're being asked, not because of that particular gender issue, but because we're intelligent in what we speak about.
Erin, who are you looking to now as role models in your life, or where you want to go next in your career?
You know, as specific role models, there isn't just one. You know, I look at the strength of the women in Sioux Falls, and to kind of dovetail off the last topic is, I hope that the conversation isn't going to the wayside in our culture. I feel we've just started talking about it openly in public, on radio, on TV, and I'm hoping that we're able to take that conversation and lift it into action and then measurable results. Those of you can't see, but I'm wearing nerd glasses. I love data. I'm bad at math, but I love data and analyzing. And I mean, we're just in a position to kind of talk about those statistics and make action. So we talk about future inspiration is to make a difference for my community, with my community in that realm, whether it's, you know, women or children or some of the most vulnerable populations.
Yeah. Lori, tips for having some of those difficult conversations about gender in the workplace. How do you approach those, you know, those words?
You know, my experiences have been, the more authentic I am and the more real I am and the more I own what I believe, the better the conversation and the better that it goes, without bringing judgment and all that to the table. But the more I own what I truly believe and what I see a future looking like, the easier the conversation is. So sometimes you have to kind of think through that, you know, and so programs like our Women's Leadership Program and things like that give women an opportunity to think through what really is important to them, what is their thoughts and their position, if you want to say that, on certain things that they're going to be encountering through their journey, and being prepared to just be comfortable with that. I've learned, you know, as you get older, you learn through wisdom that there's no right answer. But you have to be prepared to stand where you want to stand on certain issues and on certain topics, and just in general for yourself and for your life and the journey that you're trying to achieve. So, you know, my words of advice are just know who you are and don't be afraid to share that with others.
Right. And there's a process that you go through, or various opportunities to be guided through that process through MB. How important is that strategic thinking about your own values and about your own career, your own personal life, your own goals?
Well, I think it's very important, and I think it's some of the work that as individuals we oftentimes don't do. We fall into it and we kind of know it's there, maybe by our upbringing and some conversations and the friends we choose. But to really put words to it and to really think about it, and you know, it's sometimes the work that we don't do on a regular basis. And so you put programs together, you create these timeouts to allow for that kind of work to happen.
Yeah. Twyla, I want to bring you back into the conversation. And how long have you been with Avera and in the child life world, working with kids at Avera? How many years?
I celebrated 29 years this March.
And has really, to stay with something as long as you have to love it, and you have to grow in it. How have you approached longevity in a career and said, these are the steps I need to take to sort of continue to grow, but stay in this place and grow in a way that helps others as well as helps myself?
I can speak to the longevity piece is that kids and families are always changing, you know, and when I started so many years ago, the procedures and the things that kids came to the hospital for were more in depth. You stayed a longer amount of time. Now it seems to be such a quicker turnaround. You've got same day surgeries, you're in and out. As far as keeping myself up to to date with the technology and the things that have changed over the years, you have to be savvy. You have to recognize what it is that your customer is looking for information. Used to be when they would come to the hospital, they knew nothing. Now they come prepared with information from Google, WebMD, YouTube, and they want to know how their experience at Vera McKinnon Children's is going to be the same as what they saw on YouTube. And so you have to be very deft at, you know, explaining what it is that we're doing here and putting their mind at ease how we are going to take good care of their child and take care of them as a family.
And you know, as a kid who spent plenty of time in the hospital when I was little, I remember those days, and they didn't have visiting hours back then. I mean, you weren't there with your parents at all.
Right. When I first started 29 years ago, we had the double rooms where you had one TV and there were two beds. So you better hope that you like what the other person wanted to watch on TV. It was exciting when we got individual patient rooms and everybody had their own VCR. So then I pushed around a cart with all the movie tapes in it. Well, now it's more on demand. You know, you push a button and you can watch what you want. And you're right about the visiting hours. That has dramatically changed in the time that a parent can be with them. We at Avera McKenna will invite parents to be present during that induction phase of a planned procedure for surgery. That was not something I thought of in my wildest dreams 29 years ago.
That is a big change if you've been through that process as a child. Mm-hmm. Our time is short, so let's end up with time being short, because whenever you talk to women, one of the things that comes up is, I don't have the time. So I'm going to just ask each of you sort of how you, and we'll stay with you, Twyla, and, you know, how you sort of balance and create time in your life to do the things that you need to do, not only to be a healthy, whole person, but to advance a career.
I find the time that I need to spend with my patients. Some people are very quick, easy. It's, you know, straightforward. Some people need a little more time, and I've got the time to spend with those people. The things I can do outside of my work is spending time with my own family and friends. They rejuvenate me and help me to be a better person.
Erin Cirska, final thoughts on time and creating the time that you need to live your values.
I've integrated technology into my life with three kids and a husband, and wanting to serve the community as a need, being purposeful and with my time, and literally scheduling out time with my kids, my husband, my work, and for self-care is important.
Scheduling it out. So that strategic thinking applies to your daily schedule as well.
Yes.
Carla, thoughts on time?
I get asked about life-work balance quite a bit. I believe that you never quite figure it out, but my analogy is more like a teeter-totter. Once in a while, you're going to spend more time at work, but you need to always balance it out with equal time, more time at home. So at some point, you're swinging in the middle between the two, but as long as you don't end up on one of those sides at all times and it always swings backwards, that's the balance that I strive for.
Do you get tired of the question? Is it an old question, outdated question, or is it still relevant?
Well, I think, our belief what busy is keeps evolving. Mm-hmm. I thought I was really busy right out of college, but I sure had a lot of time compared to what I do now. So I think it's an ongoing question because of all of the new experiences that we're including in our daily life. You know, we don't have to watch Netflix at night. That's a busy thing. You know, your concept of busy is different from someone else's. Yeah.
Lori, I thought I was busy when I had a one-hour show called Dakota Midday, and now it's 2 hours of In the Moment, and I look back and I think, wow, the definition of full and busy changed. What do you want to say to folks to sort of finish out with thoughts on time, or maybe you have something more relevant that you want to leave women with today?
Actually, I think each of the three responses you just heard are exactly the thoughts that were going through my mind. We go through seasons in our lives, and so the definition of busy and priority is going to continue to change. And the word balance is just find the balance for you on a daily basis that works for you that day, sometimes that hour. And when you've got a really busy day, you just find balance in the moment or in the time that you're in. But it is gonna change, and that's the piece that should give us some peace, knowing that it's not gonna be. There's not a perfect to that. also. You know, like I said, sometimes we think things have to be perfect, but perfect is what we define it to be. And right. So, yeah, be strategic, set your priorities, and know that some days are going to be different than others.
All right. My guests today, Lori Knudsen, she's CEO of MB. That's EMBE. You can find it online at mb.org. And there we go. Aaron Surska with Minnehaha County. Twyla Perkinson with Avera McKinnon, Carla Santi, CEO of Blend Interactive, all winners in the leadership category at some point through the history of Tribute to Women at NB. I want to thank you all so much for being here. We appreciate your time, as it is precious and valuable.